Good morning, everybody. It's finally feeling like winter out there this morning, isn't it? Oh. Well, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We'll pick back up there. Last week we finished up that little three verse section there, verse 11 through 13, about talking about Cain and how he slew his brother, and it was because of course you know the story that he was jealous and all those things, and it was just because Abel did the right thing, and Cain didn't like the fact that God appreciated Abel's offering rather than his, but he said, "Marvel not that my brethren that if the world hate you, that's to be expected if we're doing the right thing." And he continues on here in verse number 14, and we're looking at some perceptions, and we started this last week as well. How that verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Verse 15, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." So you see that I think we can gather from just these few verses right here, even if we don't look back at the previous ones in the other chapters, that it's very important as Christians that we love our brethren. And if you don't have love for the brethren, there's a deeper abiding issue on the inside than just what can be seen on the outside. But when a person is born again, we know that God does something, such a great work on the inside, that he puts his love on the inside is what he does. And because he loves people, we start loving people. And we understand that what God did for us is all about his love and grace and mercy, and we can't help but display that to those around us at times. And so it says in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So there's a change made, a difference, and he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's real plain. But we'll continue on here in verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And so verse 15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you say, well, that's pretty blunt speech, but God, remember, doesn't look on the outer appearance. What's he looking at? He's looking at the heart. And God, you may not ever perform the act of murder, just like the act of adultery, you may not ever perform it physically. But Jesus said, if you looketh upon a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery in your heart. Well, it goes the same with murder. Brother Creston, if I look at you and I hate and despise you, then it's, in God's eyes, my heart's the same as that murderer. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay to go ahead and do those things, because the punishment is much greater if you do. But the point is, in God's eyes, God sees past the outside. We can put on a good face.
Yes, sir, brother.
Brother Darrell, I can tell you I love you all I want to, but if I hate you on the inside, that does not fool God.
Right.
And so God calls you for what you are in spite of how you look. And that's what it tells us here, is that you are a murderer if you hate your brother. And that is blunt. And he says, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Does anybody hate their brother this morning? I hope not, because the Scripture is real plain. The Scripture is very plain. And Galatians chapter 5, we reference this pretty often here, but Galatians chapter 5, there's a great list here. It says in verse 19, it says, "But if you be led by the Spirit," verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the Bible's just real plain that people that do these things, they're not Christians. Now, I understand that there may be appearance of some of these in lives, but their lives are not defined by these things. And I'm sure you've envied at times, and you've had strife at times, and you've dealt with some of these fruits of the flesh, essentially. But you can't live in those and claim to be a Christian. The Bible don't allow for that. And so the Bible makes plain words for us here to understand. And it does not mean that, it says, hate not your brother. That does not mean there won't be times that you dislike your brother. There will be times that somebody will do something and they will hurt you. They will offend you. You stay in this thing for long, you will get your feelings hurt. And there will be somebody that says something, Nathaniel, that you don't like. Even a brother or a sister. And Jesse, they're in the flesh too. And it's real easy for us to try to forgive ourselves sometimes, but hard for us to forgive our brother. We think we should hold them to a higher standard than we hold ourselves to. But you're going to get hurt. But the difference in a Christian and a non-believer is how we deal with that, I think. I think a Christian, anybody that understands, and we'll talk about perception a little more here in a minute, but any Christian that understands what Christ did for them.
Go ahead. That's right. Yep.
That while we were yet sinners,
yep,
Christ died for us.
Oh, yeah.
You see, if we have that perception, and if you've ever been born again, you should have that.
Right.
In fact, I don't think you can ever be born again if you don't have that perception that I'm a sinner that Christ died for.
Yep.
In spite of me, He died. He knew what it was. He knew what it was going to be. And yet He still died for me. And so when you have that perception and somebody does you wrong, man, I don't know about you all, but you know it's real easy right at first for your flesh to swell up and to get angry and to get hurt and all those different things. But it doesn't take long for the Holy Ghost to come by and just say, you remember what I did for you? And it just seems like all that just dissipates. And you can love people through that. Why? Because you realize you've been loved through the same things. You harmed the Lord and He yet loved you. And so if you're being harmed by a brother, you can't hold that hate. See, we'll get there in a minute, but the Bible teaches us that you can't have that love in your heart for the Lord and have hatred for your brother at the same time. Just don't work. And so we know that we've passed from death to life because we love our brother. And that doesn't say that everything's always going to be perfect between us. In fact, I mean, I'll go as far as to say there's brethren that I prefer to be around rather than others. That's just part of it, right? So there's brothers even in different denominations. And I can't fellowship with them because of some differences that we have. But that doesn't mean that I don't love them as a brother. And we don't go out and run them down and cause them grief and cause them harm. Some of you have very close family that believes different than you. But they're still brothers, still sisters in Christ. And we love them. And as long as they've got the gospel right and know that it's Christ that does the saving, it's okay. We can get through some of those things. Now, we're not going to come in here and be able to worship the same with them. That's why we're not involved in some of the different things, the different outreaches that some of these other places are. Man, how can two be together? I mean, how can they? Except they be agreed. I mean, you can't do those things. So, but we can still love them as brothers and sisters. And so we don't hate those folks. We love them anyway. We're just different. And that's okay. But we are required as brothers, as Christians, to love one another. And as I already said, you can't have both life and murder, death on the inside. John thought it worth writing about several times. In 1 John chapter 2, down in verse 9, he said this. He said, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." So somebody that says they're in the light but yet hates their brother, first off, he tells us they're in darkness. Well, then you go down to verse number 11 of the same chapter, verse 2, or chapter 2. He says, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." He's in such darkness he can't even see. He's blinded. So he's dark, he's blind. But then if you flip over, of course, the verse there that we looked at in chapter 3, but in verse chapter 4, verse 20, he deals with it again. He says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" So, darkness, blind, liar. I think that's real plain, that we understand that you can't love God and hate your brother. They don't go together. You get around a Christian that hates everybody, a so-called Christian that hates everybody, you can just pretty well know that they're not what they say they are. I mean, just in these, John mentions it four different times in four chapters there. Folks, it's a serious thing to hate your brother. And God doesn't take that lightly. So just understand, it's real plain to understand. Don't let people fool you into thinking that they're right with the Lord but have hate in their heart toward their brother, and it just don't work. Verse number 16, we'll move on. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And I mentioned that word perceive means to have knowledge or receive impressions of external objects through the medium of instrumentality of the senses or bodily organs. And so we perceive through our ears, our nose, our mouth, our eyes, right? All those, our hands, we feel things. That's how we perceive things. And so we perceived God's love through hearing about how Christ died for us. You and I weren't there to see it. Somebody had to tell us about it. I'm thankful somebody told us about it. But folks, the reason people can't perceive that sometimes is they're not being told about it. They just don't hear it. But we perceive the love of God because he laid down his life for us. So we perceive through what we call, what the Bible calls, the gospel. Right?
Yep.
If you're going to get saved today, what do you got to have? Yeah. You got to have the gospel.
Absolutely.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Yes, sir.
Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Right? Everyone that believeth.
Yep.
So the gospel, that's our perception. You see, we have to perceive the gospel. And I'm thankful for some people and some folks in my family, I mean, that brought me to church and helped me to perceive that the Lord loved me through hearing the gospel.
Yes.
And if you want people to understand God's love for them, guess what you have to get to them? You have to get them the gospel. And we're lacking in the gospel today. We've got a lot of people that want to do a lot of things, and we want to do good for people, and those things are great, and they're needed. And sometimes, like Kevin says, we've got to minister to their natural needs, and we'll deal with that as we get there in just a minute. But so often people want to do that, but they get to that line of where they need to share the gospel. And for whatever reason, Jordan, people don't want to share the gospel.
Right.
And I want to encourage everybody here today, be willing to share the gospel. It's one thing to tell somebody you love them, but if you're never willing to tell them about the gospel,
oh, yes, brother,
how much do you really love them? See, what happens is, and you and I know, the world hated him. And because the world hated him, it's going to hate us. And what you know what we're afraid of? We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid that somebody that we do love is going to be hurt at us because we share something that hurts them. You see, because the gospel doesn't just make them feel good. That's it. It is offensive. When you tell somebody that they are not good enough in their own self.
Right, brother.
Boy, that's when that you start feeling that. I don't know what you call it. That. Yeah, I mean, it just all of it. And if you've ever done it, you know what I'm talking about. Conversation, you can be talking about the love of God and all these things. But when you get to the gospel where the rubber meets the road and they... You start laying that down for them to perceive. They don't always perceive it the same way. Here's the thing. Not everybody believes the gospel like you and I do. Just don't work that way. But the Bible does still say in Romans 10, verse number... Let's look at it. Over chapter 10, verse 13... Romans chapter 10, verse 13. We'll just start reading back on verse number 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We can start there, right? We believe on him, we ought not be ashamed of it. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Oh, yes.
But here's where the perception comes in. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard the ears? And how shall they hear without a preacher? They've got to have somebody to proclaim that to them. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. Do you notice that?
Yep.
See, they all perceived. They heard the same gospel.
Oh, yes.
You see, it's not up to you and I the outcome of the gospel in the life of an individual. Paul said, they've heard, right? Ain't that what he said? But I say, have they not heard? On down there, he said, but they have not all, in verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing,
yes,
and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? He says, yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? You see, Israel had heard all about Christ's coming. First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. Talking about us. I was made manifest unto them that ask not after me, but to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto,
yes,
a disobedient,
right,
and gainsaying people.
Oh, yes.
You see the difference in you and a non-believer is just what we do with what we perceive.
Right.
See, there's no difference in the message. The gospel is the same, Jesse, to you as it is to me, as it is to Gavin, as it is to everybody out there. The difference is in how somebody chooses to perceive it. But our job is not to worry about how they perceive it so much, but to just lay it out there for them. So you and I can't help, John, how somebody thinks about the gospel. Well, I say that, we can. I need to correct myself. If you live right, the perception of the gospel coming out of your mouth will be a whole lot better than somebody that lives like the devil. But I'm assuming that if you're sharing the gospel, that you're living right. I hope you're not out there living like the devil and then trying to turn around to the people you're living like the devil with and trying to share the gospel with them. I'd rather you keep your mouth shut. So don't do that. But and don't say, I go to Amazing Grace Baptist Church either. Just keep your mouth shut. That didn't cost you nothing. But folks, I want people to perceive the same way that every believer perceives.
Yes.
Perceive it right. Yes. Perceive the love of God. Understand that Christ died for them and believe that and receive that. And then they can know that. But everybody just does not. The reality of it is, Creston, everybody's not going to believe. No matter how hard we want them to. But that does not change the fact that the invitation is for all. And that we are to reach out and we're to spell out that gospel to people as we have opportunities. And we cannot help if they reject that. And we can't help it if they reject us. And they may. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you share the gospel with somebody, your relationship will ever be the same with them. Because there's a good chance it won't if they don't receive it right. It may ruin a relationship with them for a while. But Kevin told us a good story just the other day. He'd shared the gospel with a fella 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Didn't know that it ever went anywhere. Called him up or talked to him the other day and said he'd been bothering him for 2 years. What about that? You just don't know what God can do with what we say. And what somebody, you know, what we may share with somebody, I don't share this much, but, you know, as a young fella, I tried to live for the Lord. I wasn't the best at it, I'll be honest with you. But Jesse, there were some people that I'd try to share the gospel with, even when I was in grade school, 7th grade, 8th grade, young high schooler, all those things. And, man, there's people, I got made fun of at times. There were people that would not like me, and I never understood, Kevin, why they didn't like me. Because I tried to love on them. But I've got two different instances where years later, I got a phone call from this random person. And they said, I didn't realize it back then, but you're just trying to love on me and share the gospel with me, and I want you to know how much I really appreciate that. And Kevin, all them years, I just thought, man, I did a horrible job.
Right.
But whatever I did, and it wasn't me, it was God through me. But whatever that was, God took what I thought was a poor effort that ruined a relationship and turned it into something that really helped me out later. And hopefully it was helping them out. But it's not always going to be perceived well, is it, Brother Steve? He's a fellow that ships Bibles out to California. Some of them don't like it. But some of them's changing, ain't they? You know why? Because he's just loving on them. He's loving on them. And, folks, we just got to love on people and understand it's not always going to be perceived the way we want it to be perceived. We can't help it. But one thing we can help is how much we're willing to share the gospel. And so get out there and share it. Do the best you can to show people that you love them and be a good example. But here's the thing. If it's ever perceived the right way, and they like it, it changes them forever. Just a few words that you say could impact somebody for the rest of their life by the grace of God. And it's only through Him. But there's no better way. You know, it says right here that we all, back in verse 16 in 1 John chapter 3, it says, "Hereby we perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." And so there's no better way to demonstrate our love for somebody else than to give of ourselves, to be sacrificial Christians, to be selfless Christians. And if there's anything in our day that's hard to do, it's hard to live in America and be selfless. I'm not going to stand up here and say it's easy, Doug. But that's what, if you want to reach people, Kristen, and take self and put it aside, and Christ, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, right? Though He was equal with God, the Bible says, yet but He took upon Himself the form of a servant.
That's right.
He was selfless in His action. He didn't come to earth for Him. Right? He came to please the Father, and He came to save sinners.
Right.
He didn't need it. He had need of nothing. But He just did it out of the love that He had for us, that He came. And so our perception of Christ's love ought to motivate us to love others. And just as He gave of Himself, we should give of ourselves. No, it's not easy. It's never easy to set yourself aside. Because just like you have and I have, we have lusts, we have desires, we have wants, we have fleshes that are tired, that like to sit down, like to rest, say, "I'll do that tomorrow." Folks, we're all the same in that sense. We'll say, "I'll talk to them the next time." You ever been in Walmart? We use Walmart a lot around here, don't we? That's where you see the most. You want to see the most people? That's where you go. You ever been in Walmart and the Lord impressed somebody on your heart to talk to, and you say, "Lord, I really just want to get home." And you turn around and walk out, and then you have to deal with that. You ever been there? It might not be Walmart for you. Maybe it's somewhere else. But there's been times I've been in too big a hurry, thinking I'm going to be late for this, I'm going to miss this. Man, my kids, my wife's waiting in the car. Kelsey won't hardly let me go in. She will, I mean, you can ask her. She said, "No, you stay in the car. Please stay in the car." Why? I can't help it. If I see somebody and I want to talk to them, I'll make it a point to talk to them. I think our preacher's that way too. He'll run them down. If we have to go to Cookville, we'll run them down. We'll run them down. No, but folks, if we're ever going to do anything for Christ, guess when we're going to have to do it? Right now.
Yes, sir.
This is the time that God's give us. We may not have this afternoon. We may not have tomorrow. But if you want to get out the word so that somebody can perceive the love of God, it needs to be right now. And we need to give of ourselves to do that. And it may cost you some time. It may cost you some money. However God lays that on your heart to minister to somebody, to give of yourselves. But here's the big question that I want to ask you this morning is when people are around you, when they see you, when they hear you, what are they perceiving? That's the question, right? Because we saw Christ's love, God's love for us, through what we perceived of His actions. He loved us so much that he laid his life down for us. You see, this book could have been written, and it could say, just as it does over in 1 John 4:8 and 16, that God is love. And if it was a closed book and nobody ever told me that, then it would have been there and God could have been love. I've never had any idea of it. God's the same. Regardless of if somebody knows about it or does not know or misperceives it or whatever, God's God. But what makes it so good is that he made himself perceivable to you and I, and that he laid his life down for us. See, that's how we understand and know that he loves us. And man, that makes all the difference. And so when you're around somebody and you're living your life, are you living it in a way that the people around you, just as we can perceive Christ's love, are you living your life in a way that people can perceive your love for them? The love of God toward them. It's said many times, you're the only Bible that this world's going to read. I guarantee you that lost people. Now, there's a few here scattered here and there that want to know. They'll read everything they can get their hands on. But for the most part, this world's not going to pick this book up and find out what it has to say, Brother Cliff. It just ain't going to happen. So it's our job to go out and tell and be, just as Paul said, those ministers of reconciliation. That's what we are to do. But I am thankful, and I couldn't help as I was looking at this and studying on this, I am thankful for a Savior, for a God that desired to be perceived. That just makes me so happy. I mean, he could have been God, and he could have just been up there in the heavens, and Eric created us and just left us alone. Never spoke, never said anything, never done nothing for you and I, other than just created it, just like some people believe, created it, walked away, said, have at it. But that's not what he did. He chose not to do that because he loved us.
Amen.
And we have a God that chooses to manifest himself, makes himself known, makes himself perceivable in a way that you and I can understand. You ever think about how important that is? You ever try to demonstrate love to somebody and them not be understanding what you're trying to show? Them take it the wrong way? I have. You know, the whole time you're trying to do good, they're taking it bad. God's not so. Folks, he put it out there in a way that we all can perceive it and understand what he did. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. You see, he wants to be manifest. He wants us to perceive him. Psalm 34:8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, you can have some of him. As much as you want, just give it a taste. You can't help but like it. Oh, taste and see that he is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. John said it this way in 1 John, right here where we're at in verse number 1, chapter 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he wants us to perceive him and understand who he is and how much he loves us. But he didn't have to. He don't have to come by your way. He don't have to come by my way. Didn't have to leave this book for us. None of that. But he chose to. He just chose to. Brother Rod, he didn't have to do none of that. But he makes himself available to anyone that wants him. It's an open invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." He said, "Let him that's athirst come. Take of the water of life freely." It's open. You can come. And I just started thinking, and I'm not going to cover many of these, but in Luke chapter 2, man Simeon, he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And I don't know how many years he had been looking, but he looked hard enough that the Holy Ghost come by one day and said, "You're not going to die until you see what you're wanting to see."
Right.
Don't know a whole lot about him, but I know that. He looked for Christ. He said he was looking for the consolation of Israel. You know what he found?
Yep.
He found him. God made himself manifest to a fella that was looking for him.
Hey.
We don't know a whole lot about Simeon, but he was looking for God. And he found him. In John chapter 3, old Nicodemus, he came to him looking for him by night, didn't he?
Yep.
And you know what he found?
Yes, sir.
He found the Lord. And the Lord was looking for him too. He had a message to give him, didn't he? A message that's helped every one of us in here. Mark chapter 5, we find three different ones. That Gadarean man that was full of them devils. Man, the Bible says that he saw him. He perceived Jesus. He saw him. The Bible says he ran to him and he worshiped him. Even full of them devils. He made himself manifest to that fella so that he could perceive him. And you know the story how that after that interaction with Jesus, the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind and seated right there where he was supposed to be. So we have him, and then we have Jairus. The Bible says that Jairus besought him for his daughter. She was dying. And you know what he found? He found the Lord. Jesus healed his daughter. And then you know the story. That woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she heard Jesus. See, he made himself available so she could hear that he was there. And she didn't care what she had to get through. The Bible says she pressed through and she touched his clothes. And you know what happened? She was healed of that issue of blood. See, you always find Christ available. What about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus said he wanted to see the Lord for who he was. So what'd he do? Climbed up in a sycamore tree. And guess what happened to Zacchaeus? Because he was looking for the Lord. The Lord went home with him. Folks, that's what we have. That's the God that we have. Don't ever think that we have a God that doesn't want to be perceived or doesn't want to be manifested to you. Yeah, he did manifest himself different in the Gospels because he was flesh and dwelt among men and we beheld his glory, right? As the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said that also over there. But today, he manifests himself through the gospel. And so we didn't get to see him. And I'll get there in just a minute. We didn't get to see him. We didn't get to touch him. But we're more blessed because we have not seen and yet believe. See, one of them other fellas that I had written down here was a fellow by the name of Thomas. Y'all remember him, don't you? Thomas in John chapter number 20. In John chapter 20, up there in verse, in the early part of the verses, Mary went, and I think she found the tomb was empty, and she went and told the disciples. They went back with her, and they found the tomb empty. But when the disciples left, Mary was doing what? The Bible says there in verse number 11, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." She's still looking for the Lord. She was tore up because didn't know where he was at. She was still looking for him. And then you know the story. You hear him speak, Mary. And she got to see him. Why'd she get to see him? Because she was looking for him. She was looking for him. And then we hear, you know, she sees him. You go down verse 19 through 23. The disciples see him. But you get down to verse 24. It says, "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, We have seen the Lord." I imagine Thomas was a little bit jealous. And he was a little doubtful. But there's no question in my mind that he wanted to see him. He said, "Except I see the hands, or see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas. See, he knew what Thomas was after. He said, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." That's talking about you and I. See, we've never seen, but I don't know about you, but I believed. And he's manifest himself to me in so many ways. But the first way you'll ever see him is right through here through the gospel. If you're ever going to see the Lord, you got to first see him through the gospel. That's how we perceive his love, is through the gospel, that he laid down his life for us. But I sure am thankful that God made himself available for us. And I know this, that if you ever looked for him and you found him, you've never quit looking for him yet.
Right.
Hebrews 9:28 says this, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Hey. You just keep on looking for the Lord, and he makes himself perceivable. And one of these days, the Bible says that every eye is going to behold him. We're going to look on him. I'm thankful for it. So we'll have prayer for anybody that wants to pray down the hallway there. I appreciate everybody's good attention this morning.